Hi everyone, thank you for joining us on the Real Estate Funds podcast. Today we have Brian Briscoe from Utah, and he's invested in almost $200 million worth of apartment buildings. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks Weston, thanks for having me.
For sure. Yeah, so give us a little bit more about your background and how you grew your company from zero to almost $200 million in apartment buildings.
Yeah, so born and raised in the Salt Lake area, and you know, it took me a long time to actually start investing here, but born and raised in Salt Lake, bachelor's, master's in math, you know, nobody really cares about that anymore, but I think what is significant is like a couple of days, you know, a couple months after I got my master's degree, I started a PhD program, and like 2 weeks in, September 11th, you know, happened, and that, you know, for a lot of people was a bad day. For me, it was kind of life-changing. It was, ended up, joining the Marines and going active duty shortly after, you know, it was like,
yeah, thank you for your service.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And I mean, why was it life-changing? You know, I wanted to be a math professor at that point, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, okay, well, terrorists attacked us. I'm in the military, but I never went back, you know, I never went back to school to finish the degree I started, never went back to like academia or anything like that. And it was just, you know, I ended up doing 20 years in the Marines, and real estate was something I was always, you know, kind of always had wanted to invest in. I always, you know, my friends and I, even when we were teenagers, before, you know, these flipping shows were kind of a big deal, we had these ideas of let's just buy rundown houses and fix them up, you know. I don't even know if the term flipping existed back then. I'm sure it did, but we didn't know it. But needless to say, we never did that. But when I was in the military, you know, now I'm moving every 2 to 3 years. And I had the ability, I had like VA loan eligibility, you know, owner-occupied loans, which are, you know, a lot cheaper than, you know, the loans you get as an investor. So I had the ability to start investing in real estate just by virtue of I was moving every 2 years. So picked up a couple single-family homes, lived in them for a while, turned them into rentals, and I really started seeing the potential for building wealth from that. And eventually wanted to be able to scale it. It's like, okay, this is cool, but you know, buying a house every, and it wasn't every time I moved that I was able to do this. There were some places where it was just cost prohibitive or the numbers didn't make sense to buy and turn it and get a rental property. So, trying to figure out how to scale. And my answer was, you know, let's instead of buying one at a time, buy 10 at a time or buy 20 at a time. You know, and that obviously was apartments is what I was thinking of doing. So, got into a coaching program. You know, this is like 2018. So 6 years ago, got into a coaching program, found some partners, and then started buying apartments, you know, and, the first one was, you know, a $4 million purchase. And I kind of laugh at the price now. You know, we are, you know, 55 units for $4 million. We're buying a 56 unit right now at 13 million, you know, so it's kind of like, man, things have changed a little bit in the last 6 years, but, yeah, and then it was just keep on repeating the model. So I co-founded a company, had a couple of partners, and, you know, we got up to like 700 units. And then I mean, basically just kind of continuing with the narrative, that's when I ended my military career, did a military retirement. And the first group of properties we did were all in South Carolina and Georgia. And I moved from the East Coast back home, right? And so with that move, you know, decided to leave that company and start doing my own, you know, do my own thing. And so long story short, you know, since then, you know, I've partnered with other people on, I've done over 20 deals as a general partner, almost $200 million total. Not all with the same company or under the same banner, but, just shy of 2000, lots of twos, just shy of 2000 units, 20 deals and just shy of $200 million in total total value there. So
yeah, and then what markets do those include? You mentioned you invest in different markets. What's your perspective of investing outside of your state?
You know, my perspective has changed. You know, at first we started investing in South Carolina because I felt that I had a little bit of a competitive advantage there. You know, it was, my wife was born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina. And so, you know, what was my competitive advantage? You know, wherever we were investing, she had family close. You know, she had a lot of cousins, aunts and uncles. And, you know, so if we were buying something in, you know, this area, she's like, oh, well, my cousin so-and-so lives close to that, you know. And so pick up the phone and, hey, cousin, you know. So number one, I could stay anywhere in the state for free. You know, there's lots of reasons that I did invest there, you know. But with that first company that I co-founded, South Carolina and Georgia were the focus areas. But when I left that company, you know, I did a small deal in actually Georgia. That's Augusta, Georgia, not very far from one of our other properties. Then I did one in Akron, Ohio. Ended up now I have three properties that I'm a partner on in Houston, Texas, another three in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one in Colorado, one in Charlotte. I'm probably missing one or two, but Ohio.
Wish I had that problem forgetting all the investments I have.
The North Carolina one is typically the one that I forget, you know. But anyway, that's where they're spread. And then about a year ago, I decided that, you know, I decided that focus was what I really lacked. You know, I had deals all over the place. I was having a hard time keeping track of them. You know, some of these deals I was, you know, a larger partner than the others. You know, some of these deals I had like a really small piece of the partnership. And so when you look at that $200 million, you know, some of it, like I said, there's different sizes of the pies in each one of these properties. So it'd be a lot different if I was like the single largest owner or the deal sponsor on all of these properties. But about a year ago, and real quick, I ended up sitting at a dinner table with a lot of guys with a lot more experience than I did. And this is like 2 years ago. You know, at the time I had 3 or 4 years in real estate. I was approaching 1,000 units at the time. And I remember, you know, just as they were going around the table, realizing that each one of these guys that was like uber successful was very focused on market, on asset class, on asset type. You know, it's like this guy only does B class in Atlanta. You know, this guy only does. And I started, you know, I mean, for the next 6 months or so, I was still doing deals all over the country with partnerships that made sense, you know. But I got to the point to where I started realizing that the power of focus was going to do more for me than having, you know, snippets of deals here, there, and everywhere else, you know. So I decided that I was going to start investing in Salt Lake. You know, it's my hometown. Full disclosure, I actually live in Idaho, but, you know, invest in Salt Lake. I'm a 2-hour drive from Salt Lake City, but yeah, while I was doing deals with other people and other places, started formulating my plan just to really go deep in Salt Lake and to make Salt Lake kind of like this is the only place that I'm really going to be investing for the next long time. You know, and I think with that comes a lot of synergies. You know, there's some synergies to owning a lot of properties, but, you know, having three properties in Houston that are all in completely different neighborhoods. I mean, if I drove from one property to the next, it'd still probably take me 2 hours. So, I mean, we're not gaining a lot of synergies even from having three properties in the same metro just because Houston's so big. But, you know, what I saw is like, hey, if I do all of these deals, all of these properties, and they were all located in the same metro, you know, how much better that would be for me to manage the portfolio and for the investors as well, because of the economies of scale that we have, because of the like I said, the synergies. And I feel like I'm overusing that word, but it's the best one I can think of. You know, that just a lot of extra, you know, synergy that you get from having all these properties together. So
do you think you get access to more deal flow when you focus just on Salt Lake? Because the brokers know you and you're specialized. And some of these groups are national. They do deals in multiple states. And, you know, for me, at least, when I think of Salt Lake, I think of Brian. Yeah. And then if I was a broker, I'd send you a deal.
You know, and we do consistently. So I think we do really well at reaching out to brokers. You know, I've got a guy, you know, partner/employee on path to partnership is kind of what that really looks like. But, you know, every week we have our check-in and I'm asking the same questions. How many brokers did you contact this week? All right. And we have kind of a tiered system for our brokers where, you know, we have our tier one brokers, our tier two brokers. We have three different tiers, but he is contacting every one of our tier one brokers at least once a week. So we are always top of mind. All right. And it's very frequent that I get the calls. We tell the brokers to call him, not me, but I still very frequently get calls from brokers saying, "Hey, Brian, I wanted to run this by you. You are the first person I've called," you know, and that's one thing. One of the extra advantages that I get is they know that we can close, number one. And they know what our buy box is too. So if the broker comes across a deal that's in our buy box, you know, and right now we tell the brokers, you know, ballpark 10 to 20 million is what we want to be purchasing right now. And I tell them if it's a little bit below or a little bit above, we're still going to look at it. But what we want the brokers to know and understand is if they've got a deal that's, you know, in our criteria, number one, we are going to look at it, underwrite it immediately. And, you know, we're going to be as responsive as possible. So, yeah, I mean, the focus is what brings me off-market deals. And this is one of these guys at this dinner that I referenced. I remember him saying, "I haven't bought a marketed deal in like 8 years," right? And so when you start looking at that, it's just like, you know, I my wheels really got spinning. It's like, how can I get to the point to where I don't buy a marketed deal for 8 straight years? And the answer to me was focus. So I think, yeah, the focus is going to end up making the management easier and more efficient. And it's also going to make the acquisitions and my access to the best deals on the market. It's going to open up those doors as well. And it has opened up those doors.
What's a good deal for you?
I like longer term holds. Ideal property for me would be something, you know, I would say 80s or newer. I'm not opposed to buying a 70s or 60s property. Something that's in good condition and just needs a lot of updates. You know, I'm not talking full, like, I'm not talking, you know, moving walls or, you know, big construction, but, you know, we can come in, we can make it look nicer, we can add the value, we can refinance and hold. So the ideal property for us, you know, we're probably looking at, you know, 50 to 100 units right now. In Salt Lake City, we're paying north of $200,000 per unit. So 50 units is still $10 million. 50 to 100 units where we can do a renovation for about $20,000 a unit in Salt Lake, which includes, you know, interior renovations, new floors, new appliances, new counters, sometimes new cabinetry. And that also includes a really good exterior renovation as well. So ideally, within that first 3 years, we can do a refinance, return most of our investors' capital, and then from there, just hold it, cash flow, and let time do its thing. So I think that gives everybody the best of both worlds. You get the money back fairly quickly, and you can reinvest it somewhere else, but you're still maintaining that income stream and that long-term appreciation play.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems like you're more of a long-term player in cash flow. So what are the typical returns like when an investor approaches you? And then how do you also reduce risk making the balance between risk reward, beneficial for the investor?
Yeah. We try to be competitive with our returns, what I will say about Salt Lake is the cash flow is not super high because it is a low cap rate market. We're still buying things high fours and low five caps, which, you're not really seeing in a lot of other areas of the country. So the cash flow is not going to be very strong. And the reason why, because we're a low cap rate market, lenders are only giving us about 60 to 65% LTV, which means the cash flow is diluted. It's spread about amongst many investors. So the cash on cash returns are a little bit lower, but the market fundamentals are very strong, and we're expecting to be able to make up for that through appreciation on the property. So we're hitting, our projections are, 15 to 20% average annual returns over the hold periods, with the biggest chunks coming at the refinance and sale events. What are we doing to mitigate risk? Well, Salt Lake City is a market with very strong fundamentals. That by itself mitigates a lot of the risks. It's a large metro. Some of the riskiest deals I did that I didn't realize at the time were these really cheap properties in Podunk, South Carolina, that we bought at $20,000 a door. But, when you're buying off the beaten path, there's a lot of risk inherent to it. The fact that we're only coming in at like 60 to 65% LTV on our loans, and we're raising more money, a larger percentage of the purchase price, that by itself mitigates a lot of risk because, we're seeing this right now, property prices have declined over the last 2 years, but if property prices continue to decline, we're not going to be underwater on our loans either, right? So that mitigates a lot of it. I do tend towards a little more conservative approach, I'm not opposed to getting bridge loans, but I prefer, longer terms on our loans to give us a little bit more time and to mitigate some of the risk. But on the right
now, what's the typical term like on those?
Right now, I think my favorite loan would be a five-year loan with a very flexible prepayment penalty. And we're doing one of those loans right now where we could refinance at year two with a 1% prepayment penalty. So
yeah. Is that because you're doing value add deals?
Well, it's because of where we are in the market right now. I want to have the flexibility to refinance because I think rates are going to be lower, a couple, 2 years from now. All right. So I want the ability to refinance. But if you get a 5-year fixed rate loan, I can let it ride for a full 5 years. And I know exactly what my payment's going to be every month, so there's nothing there that we're doubting. There's no question what our payment's going to be for the next 5 years, right? But you can do that. There's some trade-offs. So when you get this flexible prepayment schedule, you end up paying a little bit more on the interest rate. So essentially the trade-off is, I'm not getting the best interest rate possible right now. So we're probably paying about 0.2% higher on our interest rate to get a really, really flexible prepayment schedule. So, are we doing a value add on this property? The answer is yes. We are doing a value add on this property. But we end up raising the capital that we need for the value add. So it does make it a little bit safer. Because we're not doing a short-term loan on that property, our returns are going to be a little bit lower, but it is safer. So ideally what happens on this property, we come in, we do the value add. We have up to 5 years on our current loan for the market to correct itself, for property values to go up. But we have enough flexibility on it that if rates come down and values go up to a point to where we want to refinance in 18 or 24 months, we still can without a ridiculous prepayment penalty. So anyway, it's kind of like you know, when you try to hedge your bets, you're always going to, your returns are always going to suffer. Every risk mitigation technique you put in place, you know, your returns are going to go down slightly. But end of the day, I think we have a really good balance of, you know, mitigation versus potential reward. You know, and that's, you know, 5 years, 5 year debt on a property gives us a pretty solid runway.
You just want the balance there.
Yeah.
So, tell us about the Tribe of Titans on a little bit different note.
Yeah. So Tribe of Titans, this is, you know, I did mention before I wanted to be a college professor, you know, at one point. I've always enjoyed teaching. Turns out I was going to school for math. I didn't enjoy math as much as I enjoyed teaching, you know, which is part of the reason I never went back to that. But I am very passionate about, you know, multifamily real estate, and I still like teaching. So what Tribe of Titans is, it started out as an educational community where, you know, people join for a really low fee and, you know, they get questions answered. And what happened over the years is I started realizing that if I really wanted to help people, I had to go deep. You know, it couldn't be a superficial post something in there and you get an answer. So about a year ago, I started bringing on individual coaching clients, you know, so a little higher price coaching program where people essentially get me one-on-one for a lot more time than they would. So we still have like a subscription access, you know, $60 a month gets you access to, you know, a lot of the educational material. If you post a question in there, I will still answer it. You know, like I said, it is also the base of a coaching program as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then how do you focus on, you know, the Tribe of Titans and then also doing your own deals? Because that, I think it might be a distraction at some point, but, you know, having both, it might be complementary. So what's your view on that?
It depends on how you do it. It can be complementary. Okay. I don't think I would be a good multifamily coach if I weren't doing my own deals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that direction, it is very complementary because, you know, I know what's going on in the lending market. I know what's going on in the multifamily market, and the information and the examples I'm giving my coaching client are real world. You know, it's like, this is what we are seeing today. This is the loan application I signed today. This is the property that I underwrote today, you know, so there's a lot of things in there that are definitely, you know, going that direction from Streamline Capital, Tribe of Titans. That makes my coaching much more effective. Going the opposite direction, you know, is it as complimentary? Not really. I would make a lot more money long term if I shut the coaching program down and focus on Streamline Capital Group. It is something I enjoy, though. I mean, matter of fact, that's, you know, I had a coaching call right before logging on to do this podcast with you, which is why I was like 2 minutes late. But going the other direction, it's not as complimentary. One thing it does do is, you know, when you look at, you know, how I get paid with multifamily, I get an acquisition fee up front. Most syndicators do this. But I'll get an acquisition fee up front, and I don't make a lot of money until we sell. One thing it does is it kind of evens out the money gain. So it gives me more money that I can invest in my own deals. That is definitely complimentary. Besides the economics, though, I mean, it does take away from what I do at Streamline Capital, but you know, I've got a couple people that I work with at Streamline Capital, so it's not 100% dependent on me. And that's where partners and employees come in to start, you know, to share the load and to do a lot of things. So, yeah, I am kind of torn two directions. You know, I do have to balance time between the two, but you know, I've got good people that are working with me and working for me to be able to help balance that out.
Yeah, it's good that they can take some of that off your plate. So what are your plans moving forward?
You know, more of the same. We were talking before we hit the record button that, you know, I've met people that, like when I started, I went through a coaching program in 2018 and One of the guys that was in that coaching program with me, I still keep in contact with him. He's raising money for oil and gas funds right now. Another guy is doing self-storage and industrial deals. I'm boring, you know. I just want to do multifamily. And I think, you know, once again, I think that focus is better for investors as well, because what am I doing right now? Or what am I going to be doing 5 years from now? The same thing I'm doing right now. I'm going to be buying multifamily assets. I'm going to be managing multifamily assets. And you can bet that it's probably going to be in the vicinity of Salt Lake City. So yeah, I'm boring. It's just going to be doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me think of Warren Buffett. Just keep everything simple and, yeah, you know, reduce your risk and try to build a long-term company. So how can people reach you, Brian?
Easiest way is to go on LinkedIn and find me there. I'm very active on LinkedIn. If you hit the connect button, I will reach out to you. It's one thing that I spend some time doing every single day. You know, once a day, I'll go through everybody who hits a connect button with me. I'll say yes, by the way, and send you it's a copy and paste message that I'll send you. But I mean, it will start a conversation, and we can see where things go from there, you know. Awesome. Literally going to send you a message that says, hey, thanks for connecting. Look forward to interacting more, blah, blah, blah. You respond to that, and guess what? We start talking. So that's it. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request if we're not connected. Send me a DM if we are connected.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, Brian. Thank you for sharing your lessons.
Absolutely. Thanks, Weston.